I remember years ago as a small boy, probably 10 to 12 years old, at summer camp. One summer they were teaching us about the rapture. And I have to say that probably this was one of the most detrimental things to my faith journey of anything at all. Did I fully understand it? No. But I knew there was something special about the promise of Jesus coming back again to take the church to be with Him before the Great Tribulation. Now, over the years, there have been many, many people who have tried to guess when that is. We're going to learn when that is next Sunday when we come together to worship. But until then, I remember how knowing about the rapture, that Jesus was coming back to take believers with Him, to be with Him forever, in a way it scared me. But I don't know if scared is really the term to use how I felt about it. I think in a way it cautioned me more than anything. It caused me to live my life a lot differently, even as a young boy from then till this day, knowing that at any moment Jesus could come back again and take us to be with Him. And throughout His teaching in the New Testament, Paul encourages the believers to be prepared. One of the teachings was talking about the virgins having their wicks trimmed and their lamps full, being ready for the bridegroom to come, and being ready for the Lord's return. That was a lot of the hope that Paul preached to the churches and the believers in the New Testament. And we know this church in Thessalonica had that hope. That was the hope that they were known for, the hope that Jesus was coming back as promised and that it could happen at any time. Now, whether you believe that or not, and what you do with that is between you and the Lord in your faith journey. And it seems today we become very complacent. We think, no, that's not going to happen in our day. And I've had discussions about this with many of my friends, and it is true in every generation for years and years and years, and I guess ever since this doctrine was taught, in every generation we felt that it was going to happen in our generation. And it, although it hasn't, doesn't mean that it isn't going to. See? And Paul warned the believers, and the Bible warns us that this is going to happen at some point and that we are to be ready for it. Now, as we study the Bible and read the Bible, we love application. We love to read God's Word and say, okay, how do I apply it to my life? What do I do with this? But in all reality, unless we have better understanding of it and a true solid belief in it, we really can't apply it to our lives. I get so many different people telling us this is what we should do, this is what we should do, this is what we need to do, especially in the higher up in the church. This is what we need to do, this is what we need to be doing. And I say, but yes, I understand that, but tell me why. Why do we need to be doing this? You see, and so many times we sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater because we're doing things and we don't even really understand why we're doing them. We really don't understand what we believe in. And people say to me all the time, well, I know what I believe and that's all that's important. Not if you're believing something that's wrong. You see, it's when it comes to the subject of the rapture, we have hammered this out for thousands of years about the second coming of the Lord. And the Christians then felt that it was to be in their day. It has not happened yet, but it's still promised and the fulfillment of it will come. And I ask you folks in Bible study on Tuesday nights, how do we know that it will happen? Because over and over and over again, God tells His people things, and they do happen at some point. God said to His people in Isaiah, "You're my chosen people. I have chosen you. You belong to me. Have idols told you these things? What can idols do for you that I haven't done? And because I tell you these things, they will happen." And so many of them have happened over and over and over again. So we have to understand that belief is as important as application in some of these things in the Bible. And that's what Paul was doing with the believers in Thessalonica, and he does everywhere he goes. He gives commendation to
the believers when he writes to them, commending them for their good works and what they're doing right. He gives them directions in what they should be doing, how they should be living. But he also gives teaching and beliefs and understanding to them. And it's important that we do that in biblical teaching. As Paul moved up and down the coast of the Aegean Sea, many false teachers, they called them super apostles, moved in behind him to discredit Paul and his teaching. Some that Paul had reached with the gospel did in fact turn back to their old ways. They allowed these false teachers to convince them that Paul's teaching was wrong. There have always been and there always will be false teachers who take authority into their own hands and make claims that they know the truth or that they know more than others who are teaching biblical truths. And sadly, there have always been and always will be those people who follow them. And that's what's going on in our world today concerning the second coming of Jesus. It's being taught widely. That's not going to happen. We don't need to worry. We just need to be continuing doing the good works and be good people, not concerned about the second coming of Christ. There are various teachings about this today. Many in Paul's day didn't fully understand how the rapture really worked, and then they denied it altogether. Others said that Christ had already come and he was not coming again. And others taught that although Christ might be coming again, well, what about those who died before he comes? You see. So we find Paul's teaching here comforting as he writes to the Thessalonian believers. And in fact, what he wrote to them was the basis for what he wrote to the Corinthians and believers all through the area he was traveling. And the key here that we have to understand is the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ and the rapture of Christ coming again. These believers had hope, and they lived a certain way because their hope was that Jesus would come in their lifetime. And I have to say, when I stopped to think about that a little bit this week, I can remember my own childhood growing up with that in my mind, that today could be the day that Jesus comes back. And it completely, totally altered my lifestyle. Not that I was perfect, but that I accepted it as the truth and practiced it as the truth. So the question is, for us, not if he comes again, but when he comes again. If he comes while you're still alive, actually if you've died first even, which way are you going? You'll say, well, I hope I'm going. No. You cannot doubt. You must be sure. You must say, I know I'm going. And that gives me hope in my life. See, I know that I'm going with him. Because of these teachings. Paul writes to them, he says, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now, Paul had spent some time in this writing, commending them for being the model church, giving them directions in the way that they should live, and now giving them understanding about a key doctrine and a false teaching that was going on in their area at the time. He says, brothers, we know from that, right, where we understand he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to believers. We don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of the people who have no hope. Okay, we don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge or understanding. See, and he said, we want you to have this knowledge, we want you to have this understanding. We don't want you to lack hope. Hope is anticipating something with pleasure in this language, in the Greek language. Paul says, we don't want you to grieve like those who don't anticipate something with pleasure. In other words, Paul was saying, I want you to know and I want you to find pleasure in this. So how can one know whether they will go to be with the Lord? We believe, okay? Say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty. See, Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We believe
that Jesus died and rose again.
And because Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that, we know it, He was seen because of that.
And so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Now, we have to understand here that this will be initiated by God, that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Now, this is not soul sleep, as some of the other religions are teaching, some of the cults of our day who call themselves Christians but teach soul sleep. This is not soul sleep. Paul taught in other places that when we're apart from the body, we're present with the Lord. He said, I desire to be apart from the body and present with the Lord, but he knew when he was in that state, then he wouldn't be able to teach those around him. See, this is not soul sleep. He's talking about deceased. In the Greek language, the word that they use for sleep and being dead can be used in two different ways. So what he's talking about here is, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in Jesus. In other words, the believers that have already died, that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring those who have already died with him. Okay? And we don't want you to be ignorant of this. We want you to understand this, because it's important to understand this. We believe that Jesus died and rose. We believe he's coming back for us. So why do we believe it? Why do we believe that? Paul says it. Paul's just a man, right? We turn back to Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus is speaking about the end times. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. According to the Lord's own word, Paul says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left at the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or die. Why do we believe it? We believe it because Jesus taught about it. You see, and we believe that if we're still alive when that happens, that we are who are left when the coming of the Lord happens will not precede those who have fallen asleep or die. Well, when you turn back to John chapter 14 and you understand Jesus' teaching on this, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Understand, this is Jesus' promise to his followers. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you this. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me so you can be with me also. That's the hope of a Christian. That Christ, when he comes back, whether we've died in Christ or whether we're alive in Christ, he's going to take us to be with him. When the time is right. For the Lord himself, Paul says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with the loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. That's just what Jesus had taught. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ. When everybody say that, in Christ. In Christ. The dead in Christ. That is not unbelievers. That's Christians. When Christ comes again, at the trumpet call, the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive, who's that? Brothers, the believers, we who are still alive. Not everybody. This isn't universal salvation. Why would Jesus take someone who denies Him with Him to be with Him and experience glory forever? It's not Bible doctrine. It's not biblical. It's not. It doesn't make sense. And if we use the Wesleyan way of Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, Scripture doesn't validate that thinking. The traditions of the church sure don't. The true church sure does not teach that. And what Paul experienced in his teachings doesn't validate that. And reason doesn't validate that. The dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Will be caught up. You know what that word means in the Greek language? It means snatch. Snatch us away. We'll be caught up in the blinking of an eye. Together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We'll be plucked out. So what's going to happen to the rest of the world? The dead in Christ are raised to be with Christ, to go with Him in the air. Those who are living will be snatched, plucked out, seized to go with Him. What's going to happen to the rest of the world? I don't want to be part of it, but I know I'm not going to be part of it. I pray for the people who are going to be part of it, because it's not going to be very pleasant. In the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet sound, we'll be with the Lord forever. I find what Paul finishes this section with, therefore encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. You know, Jesus might come back before we're finished here. He might come back today, tomorrow, next week, maybe next year. He may not come back in our lifetime. But we know, the Bible tells us, if we've died in Christ, whether we've died in Christ or we're still alive in Christ, He's going to take us to be with Him forever. And that has to be encouraging words for us. It might be a little scary because we're worried about our loved ones. That would encourage us to go to our loved ones and start telling them about Jesus and sharing our faith with them, hoping that they too will go with us. What a sad shame it'll be to be around the throne of glory. Our spouse might not be there. Our children might not be there. Our co-workers, our classmates, maybe our mothers and fathers won't be there because they didn't believe. What'll be sadder yet is that they're not there because we didn't share that with them. Paul commended these folks because not only were they busy, they were active, they were expressing their faith through their good works, but their hope was in what they believed. Everything they did revolved around what they believed, and that was that Jesus could come back at any second in their life, and it completely transformed them and changed the way they lived, the way they acted, and what they did, how they talked, and they were well known throughout all Macedonia, Greece, and all that area back then. And it should make a difference in our lives today. We say, well, He hasn't come back yet. He's probably not coming back. What are the signs that He's coming back in our day? Well, they're definitely there. Many people spend hours paging through the Bible, figuring out this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen, and here's when it's going to happen, and here's the date, and then they start living their life accordingly to that. And that's a complete waste of time. It's bogus. In fact, I don't want to spoil next week, but Paul actually says about the times and dates, we don't need to write to you. We don't need to write to you about this. It'll come like a thief in the night. Boy, folks, I certainly hope that when that time comes, whether it be in a few minutes or in a few years, that when He snatches us out of this world. I hope on the following Sunday, this church is empty. You understand what I'm saying and the seriousness of it? It was serious to these folks. It has to be serious to us today. We say, well, how do I apply this to my life? And what you do with this is up to you. You can do whatever you want with it. You can say, well, this isn't really relevant to me. I believe so. I'm good to go. And that's a terrible attitude to have as a Christian, because the Bible challenges us as Christians to go out and share that with other people. To share that joy with other folks and to tell them about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Not in the fact that, oh, when I die, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me. No, but in the fact that if Jesus comes right now, I don't have to worry because I know I'm going up. I'm going up to be with the Lord. Why do I believe this? Because this is what He's promised. This is what He's promised. No matter what the teachings are today in our world, we trust the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone. And the Holy Spirit continues to guide us and teach us of all things that Jesus taught. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to tell us, we don't want you to be ignorant about this. We want you to understand the importance of being in Christ, whether you die first or whether you are living, because when He comes, only those in Christ are going up. Be with Him forever. And I have to make one final Reformation note. You cannot pray someone who has died into heaven. Understand me, folks. When you die, you die. You cannot be shuffled around from one place to another. There is no second chance. We sing the great hymn, "To God Be the Glory." Verse 3 is especially encouraging. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus' Son, right? Here in this world, in this life. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder and our transport when Jesus we see. Do I get an amen this morning?
Amen.
What a glorious journey that's going to be. Our wonder and our transport when we see Jesus. John writes later on, what we will be has not yet been revealed to us, but we know that when we see Him, we will be like Him. Now you can take this and you can do what you want with it. But Paul says, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. And I always get funny looks from people when we're in a discussion about how bad things are in the world. And I comment, Christ can't come back soon enough. I say, boy, I really wish Jesus would come back. Jesus can't come back soon enough. And I get all kinds of stares. Like that's not a good attitude to have. That's our rejoicing. That's our hope. And that's our singing. So I'm going to invite the choir to share their message about that this morning with us.